Preacher this morning is a brother, Mr. Garth Wilson, a fourth-year theological student from our church in Omagh, and we're going to ask him to come now and bring the Lord's message, and we trust the Lord will bless him as he preaches to us.
Trust you've kept your Bibles open at that portion of Scripture that Paul read to us, and it is the opening words of the first verse that we read together that we want to consider by the help of God. This morning our brother said he didn't see my knees knocking, he didn't hear my heart pounding. I just hope this microphone doesn't pick it up, because there'll be that beat perhaps throughout it. But we look to the Lord for his help. The apostle says in the opening words, 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Before we come to the preaching of God's word, we want to seek his help now in a brief word of prayer. If you know and love the Lord, can we ask you please to pray with us and pray for us? If you're not saved, pray God will speak to your heart today. Through his precious word that you'll see something of the love of God. God will speak to every heart in this congregation this morning. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, our God, we approach humbly once again unto thy throne of grace. Come to Christ, the one who is our mercy seat. We come to thee, Lord, for we sense our great need of thee. Lord, we're coming to handle the scriptures of truth. Lord, we realize that these are not the words or the imaginations of man. This is the living, fallible, true word of God. Therefore, O Lord, we need help. We need the help of God, the Holy Spirit, to come and to illuminate the pages of Holy Scripture just now. Give help to this preacher to rightly divide the scriptures of truth. We pray, O God, that you'll keep us from all error. And we ask, O Lord, that every word of man might fall to the ground, it might be forgotten. That every word of God will be hidden deep within our hearts. We pray, O Lord, not only for this preacher, but Lord, for every hearer. We pray, O Lord, that you'll fill us all with the Spirit of God. Lord, we need thy power. We need help not only to preach, but Lord, we need help to hear. So therefore, Lord, come. Attend to this time of preaching we ask of thee. And we ask, O God, that in all things, that everything that is said just now, the man of God will have all the glory, and that he alone will have all the preeminence. Hear and answer prayer. We pray it in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen. Amen. An old saint of God was approaching the end of his life. During his entire lifetime, this was a man who loved to read the scriptures. He loved to study his Bible in order to find out more about God. However, the passage of time had taken its toll on this dear saint. And as a result, he was now confined to his bed. Friends and family would come and would take turns to speak with him and to keep him company as he lay in his bed of sickness. On one occasion, one of those friends turned to that old man of God and he asked him a question. And he said, "Sir, what was the greatest thing that you can recall from your life's experience?" The old man pondered for a moment. And then in beautiful simplicity he said, "Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so." The greatest thing that he could recall from his life's experience was Jesus loved him. And it is this same theme of God's love that has captivated the Apostle John. While we cannot be exactly sure as to what age John was at this time when he wrote these epistles, yet it would appear that from the tenor and from the terminology of these letters, that he perhaps now was a man well on in years. It may well be that as John comes to write this letter, he is in the latter stages of his life. He uses those phrases, little children, quite often, and the phrase young men. Those are frequently used in this letter, and it may suggest that he is now writing as a fatherly figure to those who are much younger than him. Yet whatever age he may have been, one thing is sure, and that is that the apostle loved to write about the love of God. As you read through his gospel and also through these epistles, on numerous occasions you are confronted with God's love. John has been so overtaken with this truth. It is clear that his heart is so overwhelmed and so overflowing with this thought of the great love of God, that he wants at every opportunity to declare this love to his readers. And it is to this same subject that John returns to in the opening verses of 1 John and the chapter 3. While he goes on, yes, to speak about brotherly love, love one for another, yet he prefaces all that he has to say with the greatest love of all, namely the love of God. What a theme that is before us today. What a soul-stirring subject that really is. Yet a subject which, sad to say, the false prophets of this world do so much injustice to as they seek to compare the love of God to that of human experience. And as we shall see, there is no comparison in this world to the love of God. I'm very conscious today that one sermon, that one message will never be enough to plumb the depths of God's love. Yet even if we grasp just a little more of God's love today, then it will not be in vain. Therefore, as we come to verse 1 of 1 John chapter 3, I want us to consider the subject, the love of God. The love of God. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the declaration of it. The opening words of verse 1. Behold, what manner of love. John opens this third chapter by declaring this love. He calls it to our attention. He wants us to sit up and to take notice. And as he does so, he uses that interjecting word, behold. He wants us to stop and to consider, to ponder and to think over this love. The word behold is often used in Scripture as a signpost, as a marker, as a pointer to some great truth that is about to be revealed or reiterated. The angel of God appeared to Joseph and declared to him the mystery of the birth of the Savior and how that Mary would be the chosen vessel to bring the Savior into this world. And the angel said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Joseph, you need to sit up here and take notice. This is what is going to happen. You need to be aware of this. And so the angel get Joseph's attention, uses that word. Simon Peter was in that vulnerable state just before the crucifixion of the Savior. The Lord knew exactly what was in the heart of Peter and how that he would be overcome by temptation and how that he would deny the Lord. Deny him in a very public and in a very abusive manner. The Lord had something to say to him, and he said, Simon, Simon, behold. Behold, Satan hath desired to have. Simon, you need to sit up and you need to listen. Take careful note of these words. And he gets his attention by using this word, behold. John himself was one who used this word quite a bit. in order to get people to listen to the message. Right at the beginning of his ministry, he was declaring Christ unto the people. And the people were confused. They thought John was the Christ. They thought he was the one who would save them from their sins. When he saw Christ come, when he saw the true and only Savior coming, what does he cry out? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world. Get your eyes off me and get your eyes on Christ. Use of that word, behold. Again, in this verse, we are to behold. Take notice of this great fundamental truth as John declares once again. Should behold the marvel of God's love. You know, the love of God is something we ought to marvel at. It's something we ought to thank God for every day. How helpless. And how hopeless we would be if God had never loved us. He does love us. Even though we do not merit it. Even though we do not deserve it, even though at times we fail and we falter often in our Christian life and we don't love Him as much as we ought, He still loves us. Paul knew and experienced the love of God in his life. He would say, the Son of God, who loved me, gave Himself for me. With all of Paul's hatred and all of Paul's hostility to the gospel, yet God loved him. Thank God for this love for desperate and depraved sinners, like as we were in our sin. We love people today who love us back as the brain. People who love us, well, we can love them. When it comes to the love of God, He loved we who were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Our backs to God, our faces to God. So we marvel at His love today. We rejoice in that love. Because Christian, if He never loved us, we'd be bound for Him. If He never had drew us with the cords of love to Himself, we would have no hope. We would have no prospects. We would have no future in this world. And this preacher might as well shut his mouth and now go home. Verse says, behold, what manner of love. It's interesting as you read about the love of God, especially in John's writings. You see it described as a love that transcends all other loves. That well-known verse, John 3:16. For God so loved. God so loved. Over there in John's Gospel as well, the chapter 15 and the verse 13, he says, greater love hath no man than this. And again, the magnitude of God's love is brought before us here in this verse. What manner? The word manner there, it means of what sort? Of what type? In other words, there is no other sort, there is no other type of love like God's love. His love is unique. There is nothing to compare to the love of God. Yes, this world of ours would be meaningless without love. Without a mother's love, father's love, son's love, a daughter's love, a brotherly love, a Christian love. Yet there is no love like the love of God. His love is eternal because He has loved us with an everlasting love. His love is unchangeable. Folks, let's be honest, today our love for others will change. Those we love today, we can hate tomorrow. was with, not changing. His love is unconditional because we do not merit it. We do not try to work for it. Yet in spite of it all, he loves us. His love is incomprehensible. No matter how often we try, and it's a good exercise to do this, just to ponder and to think over the love of God. The love that he had for sinful wretches such as we, yet we will never fully be able to understand or plummet the depths of God's love. Praise God, his love is insane. Paul writing, church at Rome, the church of Rome, the church at Rome, said nothing. He lists a multitude of things there at the end of chapter 8. And he says, none of these things is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, many things in this world will try. Many circumstances will so work against us. Governments and nations and legislators will all try. But praise God, nothing is able to separate. If you're saved today, washed in his precious blood, Christ, you're loved today with a love that cannot be broken. This is all true because God's love is not just some mere emotion. It's not a fleeting sensation that is felt for a time. But this is all true. Why? Because God is love. One of the characteristics of God is that he is love. It marks his character, it marks his conduct. What a marvel all of God is. What magnitude there is here in his love. God should ever know. It's not only the declaration of this love, but I want you to see, secondly, with me here, the demonstration of it. Verse 1 goes on, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. You see, it's easy to declare your love. Words are cheap. Sad to say at times, words are meaningless. Words often have to be eaten. Not so we come to consider God's love. God not only declared his love, but he demonstrated it by giving us or bestowing upon us that love. We are the beneficiaries of his love. We are the recipients of his love because in love he sent his Son to be our Savior. The incarnation, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ was one of the most visible and powerful, in fact, was the most visible and powerful demonstrations of God's love. You see, John could have spoken much about the declaration of God's love. How that God so loved. Talked about the magnitude of God's love, the marvel of it, the wonder of it. That would never have been enough to see. That would never have been enough to take us out of the depths of sin into places of Christ. God, the righteous judge, he demanded a payment for our sin. His justice demanded that our sin must be atoned for. It must be paid. We of ourselves could never satisfy or never meet the demands of that justice because of our sin. We fall short. We miss the mark. And no matter how much we try, we'll continually miss the mark of the glory of God. We can never be saved by ourselves. All our goodness, all our righteousnesses, they'll not be enough to save us. It could never turn away the wrath of God, the condemnation that was ours by nature. The only payment for sin
could ever fully satisfy the demands of God's justice was the death, the bloodshed, the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, His Son. The one who was sinless. The one who could not sin. The one in whom there was no praise of sin at all. Therefore it was the love of God that sent His Son into this world to die. He made it possible for us to be saved. He made it possible for us to have an assurance of heaven. He made it possible for us to have a hope beyond the grave. All because of God's love. God demonstrated His love merely in words, but in deeds. Calvary's cross. God's justice. It's interesting as you read through the scriptures. How often when you read about the love of God, the next phrase contains a reference somewhere to the cross. In Romans chapter 5 and the verse 8 we read, God commendeth, or God demonstrated His love toward us, how that while we were yet sinners, Christ in Galatians 2 in the verse 20, that verse we've already made reference to, Paul said, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. There's another reference to the cross. In Revelation chapter 1 in the verse 5, same writer, unto him, John, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in His own. See, the love of God and the cross of Christ go together. And it's only when we have come to appreciate the meaning of the cross, we can in some way appreciate the love. One of the early church fathers, Augustine, said, the cross is the pulpit from which Christ preached God's love. Christ died that we might live. The Lord Jesus Christ endured hell upon the cross that we might never go there. He was forsaken of the Father that we might never be forsaken. He was cut off. We might never be cut off. You see, just we are saved through Christ. And by saving faith in Him and His finished work, we are loved. Christian, today we are loved as Christ is loved. Why? Because we're in Christ. In that covenant relationship with God. And as God the Father loves the Son, then we are loved also. An inseparable, indissoluble union that we have with Jesus Christ. It's all possible because of the love of God. This world has seen many great examples of human love. Our history books are full of many who gave their lives to defend a nation, to defend a right, to defend a people. There is no love when we come to consider the love of God. Because the greatest demonstration of love in action is seen in the cross. God the Son sent His Son, God the Father rather, sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, to be your Savior. The declaration of it, demonstration of it. Finally, as we close, I want you to see designation because of it. Designation because of it that we should be called sons of God. Every saved sinner in this meeting, every saved sinner in this world, every redeemed soul, we have a new designation, we have a new title. Some people are obsessed with titles. In the world of employment, everybody's got a job title. And they're getting more fanciful by the day. A caretaker is no longer a caretaker, they're a building supervisor. A secretary is no longer a secretary, they're a personal assistant or they're an office manager. Grand titles indeed. And then there are others, and well, they have more letters after their names than they have in their names, and they like to tell us about it. But here's a title, here's a designation that surpasses all others. Sons of God. Because here John brings us to our adoption into the family of God. We're called his sons. Adoption is a legal act. The child becomes a member of that family for the rest of their lives. They'll always be their son. They'll always be their daughter. So it is when it comes to the matter of salvation. Because you see, by nature, as Julian has already pointed out to us in his testimony, by nature we are not the sons of God. Let me emphasize it again. By nature, we are not the sons of God. We are, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:2, the children of disobedience. We acted and we behaved as such. We lived our lives according to the slavery of sin and the mastery of the devil. But because of regeneration, because of the new birth, the work of God within us, that moment when God took us from nature's darkness into the light and the liberty of the gospel, we are adopted into the family of God. His name. We're no longer the children of wrath. We're no longer under condemnation. Children of God. Not merely fostered, that act which is only temporary, but adopted a permanent arrangement. We are the sons and children of God. This present time. This is not a title that will be conferred upon us at some time in the future. Right now, you're saved. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. You've turned from your sin and you're resting upon Him and Him alone for salvation. You have this title. Look at verse number 2 of 1 John chapter 3. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We're saints today. We don't have to wait to be dead for 100 or 500 years for people to find that we've done some great thing in our life 400 or 500 years ago to be called a saint. We're a saint today. We're the sons of God today." What a title. Christian, your name might be obscure in this world. Nobody in this world may never hear about you but your close family or friends. But you're loved by God and you've got this title today, the Sons of God. I'm reminded of an unconventional Cornish evangelist, Billy Bray. Billy Bray was a rough character. He lived a rough life. He lived his life, for the early part of it anyway, riotous living. And his appearance was always rough, but praise God, there was that time when he trusted Christ to be his own and personal Savior. But he still had this rough and this rugged appearance. And as he would go round the various districts in Cornwall preaching the gospel, he would, of course, encounter a stillman. A man came to him looking upon Billy Bray's appearance. He said in a scathing and a disparaging way, "Billy Bray, who are you anyway?" Billy Bray said, "Who am I? While our names may not be known down here, we may leave this world behind and never be remembered. Praise God, today we have this great thing, sons of God, all because of God's great love." Let me ask you today, are you a son of God? Let me put it to you another way, are you saved? Have you had the experience of the love of God for yourself and salvation? Are you still in your sin? Are you still a slave to your sin? Are you still walking after the things of this world and after the devil? Praise God, today if you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, you give your life to Him. You trust Him and Him alone for salvation. He'll make you a son of God. You can leave this meeting. Having come in this meeting a sinner, you can leave this meeting a saint on your way to heaven. You will trust Christ and His finished work. I pray God will give you the grace to do today. Christian, may we marvel at the love of God. He sent His only Son to die on the cross to save us from sin. We might never be lost. What a designation we have because of it. What a title. Sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, loved as He is loved. Why? Because we're in Christ. May that warm our hearts today. May that encourage our despondent souls today. May it lead us on to greater things, greater service for the Lord and Master. May we consider all the way that He loved us. May we in turn seek to love Him. God bless His word to all of our hearts. Let's bow of prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word this day. We thank Thee for the love of God. We rejoice that Thou hast sent Thy Son to be the Saviour of this world. May we, as each and every individual, as believers in Thee, may we truly love Thee. May we truly rejoice even in the love that Thou hast shown to us. But Father, we pray for those outside of Christ, that Thou wilt speak to them, that Thou wilt come and draw them to Thyself. May they realize Thy love. May they realize the love of the Saviour in giving His life for them. And we pray that Thou wilt draw Thy people unto Thyself this day. Bless us, we pray, as we come to sing this final hymn. May we do so rejoicing in Thy love, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.